Hey, I'm excited to introduce to you one of my favorite people in the world, Garrett Rothels, the man, the myth, the legend.
Hey, Davidson. It's great to be here.
Well, the reason why I wanted to pick your brain, despite you just being like a really smart dude, I think you've done a lot of work within the employee resource group here at LinkedIn, and you're pretty involved. So I feel like it would be good to get your perspectives, because I think right now the what I'm getting from speaking with just temperature checking what's going on, a lot of people, they want to help, but they feel like they're not really sure what to do. And for people listening, this is in regards to like recent event with what's going on with Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and a lot of what's going on lately. So I guess, I just wanted to get just your opinion on what's going on so far, and then we can get into more actionable steps on how folks can contribute and help out.
Sure. I mean, well, number one, I think that there's a lot of things going on, a lot of which is specifically wrong. And I think it's very important that we take a stance right now at this very moment and keep the fire burning while it's hot. So, there's a lot of systematic injustice that the Black community continues to undergo. They continue to experience time and time again. A lack of progress towards support for their communities. And it's important that we as allies, right, whether white or minority or underrepresented group, to be vocal and to share, and to talk about the fact that this isn't okay, that everyone should have the right or the opportunity to a just and equitable future, right? And so it's important. I think that right now, this has been a prime moment for us as allies, especially if we call ourselves allies, to stand up and to make sure that we're supporting our Black colleagues, friends, leaders, and then making sure that they're okay.
Yeah, and thanks for the recommendation. I know we sent out an email to a lot of the LEA members, and I actually did watch the 13th documentary on Netflix
Great.
yesterday, which definitely made me think a lot about, more specifically, about how jail is in a way like slavery in a lot of ways, right? I mean, I know that's like a pretty extreme statement. But I think it's a lot of things that we just don't really think about, because I'm not Black, obviously. So it's not like every day I'm thinking about like, oh, what's jail life like? So yeah, thanks for making that recommendation.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great movie. And I think that that's a good start, right, to sort of initiating our allyship journey. We talk about it a lot. I think there are a lot of different recommendations and suggestions for how to kind of be on the path to becoming this wonderful ally. And it's very plain and simple, right? Number one, well, really, taking a step back, number one is to first stop yourself from judging others in terms of how strong of an ally they are. Right. I think a lot of times there's a hump being missed, right? People who come informed and they're vocal, and we sort of forget that the most basic step is to treat others the way you would like to be treated. And there are a lot of different ways to support the community right now. Number one, it's really just to say something, to not judge others for how they're showing their support. And so understanding that, using that as a sort of foundational the sort of foundational platform for what you learn moving forward, I think is really key to becoming really the most effective ally you can be. And then number two is obviously being informed just like that, right? Whether it's reading, whether it's watching documentaries, whether it's I think the best way is to really continue to keep a pulse in the news, as horrible and sad and dark and gloomy it may seem. It's important that we continue to stay informed so that we can come into conversations understanding what the current climate is like. These current events give us the chance to understand what status quo is, where things are today, and how we can move forward. And then from there, it's sharing with others. It's reaching out to the BIPOC communities, our Black friends and colleagues, understanding their perspective. And so it kind of starts all from all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious, like, what made you get into the Infinity Groups and Employee Resource Group? Because I do think no, not every, we're fortunate that LinkedIn has a pretty strong community when it comes to the diversity, inclusion, and belonging. Well, but what made you even passionate about this topic in the first place?
Yeah. So in high school, I went to a camp called Lead for Diversity, and it was something that really opened my eyes. The group is a nonprofit. They're now known as The Roots, and I consider many of them good friends of mine. And that, I think, was the start to my journey of understanding the entire concept of what diversity, inclusion, and belonging was all about. So I kind of stemmed from there, where I sort of realized that, you know, even for myself, there are a lot of privileges I have that I'm fortunate to have that open the doors to other opportunities that others may not. And having a clear understanding of what the playing field looks like gives us a chance to level the playing field even more so that everyone could bring their best selves to wherever they're at, right? And so that's why it's really important. It helps everyone if you are an ally. It helps no matter what side of the fence you are on. It does nothing but good to support your fellow person in ensuring that they have also equal opportunity to play the game, to realize economic opportunity, to network, to have influence, to have impact or status or title. Everyone should have the opportunity. And once we open those sort of floodgates, that's when we'll have reached the point where we should be.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I think now we're in fight or flight mode more than ever, just because of obviously COVID, right? That, you know, we're in one of the deepest recessions we've ever had. So I do think a lot of, you know, just Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like, you know, a lot of it's like, hey, like security and safety is like the number one priority. So I think a lot of people are in that, like, you know, I'm scared to even, like, anyone who's like in any major city, you know, I'm scared to even like go outside, you know, just because like I don't want to, like, you know, be caught in the middle of something and accidentally, you know, get in trouble. So I'm curious as to, you know, maybe, you know, because of COVID, obviously, like, I think like just getting into large groups is probably not the safest thing, but what can people do that doesn't involve, you know, like gathering, like large gatherings because of like what's going on with COVID right now?
Sure. Understandable, right? If you can't go out and protest, if you don't have the bandwidth, time, or just in general, concern for your own safety, it's understandable. There are a lot of different ways you can still show up for the communities if you want to take that stance, and it's encouraged that you do. And, you know, that's what we're doing right now. This Zoom meeting, right? That's using our phones. It's donating. It's talking about it, right? It kind of comes back to that very first of not judging others for however way they're showing up as allies, or if they're just starting their allyship journey, right? I'm a big fan of the campaign right now for this very day, for Blackout Tuesday, I think there's another hashtag for it, but big fan of that, of you know, the Black Lives Matter logo, putting that up on your Instagram account, Facebook, and sharing and being more vocal about it. You can do that. That's a sort of modern day way to protest and to kind of create a movement. And I think it's a beautiful thing that we're now sort of coming together, being more vocal about it, and saying as one that this is not okay. So you shouldn't feel guilty for not being able to go out and protest. You know, if you feel like you can't, there are certainly other ways of doing so.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do think there's everyone's in the, to your point, there's people that are in different stages of their allyship journey. And you know, from your email, it does seem like the first step is actually even just educating, like informing yourself of like what's going on, right? So how does one choose the media sources, right? Because I do think media, depending on where you get your source, it could be, because anything could be taken out of context, right? So what would you suggest for people to have many different types of media where they can like come, you know, have like a more balanced perspective per se.
Yeah. Understandable, but I think it all just starts with going out there and spending the time to read, to, you know, get articles from the Times, from, you know, there are a couple of newsletters that I think we recommended in that email, right? For setting up for the weekly Better Allies newsletter. There's something called Race Ahead, which is a Forbes Evil Digest. They have an article around allyship. And so there are a lot of different resources, and go out there and find it, right? You'll obviously see from the tone or whatever publication you're reading from, whether or not they're picking a side, but all in all, you should try to find nonpartisan news that sort of aims to share objective truths about where things are at. And it's just a matter of educating yourself, right? Being open to learning and understanding what allyship really, really is and what it means. So it's all about just taking that step to learn. It doesn't really matter where you start.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say you're a leader or you're a manager or you're someone who has influence in your company, right? Whether it's at LinkedIn or a completely different company. How would you suggest to go about creating the space to just open up the discussion, whether or not you do have, you know, someone on your team who is a minority or not, right? Because I do think this is an important topic, and a lot of managers probably don't know how to bring this up. Like, you know, maybe it's not coming from the top down, but maybe they just want to open up the space just for their employees, right? Just because they do want to create an environment where you can have these conversations.
Well, you'd be surprised too how many managers are not.
Right.
So that's the very first step, is being courageous and brave enough to just create the space. When we say creating the space, literally it means how's everyone doing? And creating the space for the open dialogue. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I think there are a lot of managers who, or a lot of leaders who are still sort of, you know, slowly making their way there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it absolutely is tone deaf to not bring it up in some way, shape, or form, especially to colleagues who are Black or underrepresented from underrepresented groups. And so, especially during right now, during these times, right? So it's creating the space for the open dialogue, especially to your own team members, to your direct reports, and then asking what you can do to help, right? I think Rick Butler, a colleague, good friend of mine out in Chicago who runs a customer success team out there, he did a fantastic job outlining a couple of fantastic steps for how to show up for your colleagues, right? To reach out and to just ask, hey, how are you doing? For me personally, that's what I've done. I reached out to all my closest Black friends and colleagues and have just asked, like, are everything okay? Like, want to just talk? And encourage first to have a Zoom chat, or even a phone call, right? Take the step beyond just pinging them and saying, like, hey, just want to spend a couple of minutes, like, well, you just want to hear your story real quick. Like, how are you processing all of this? Because there's no way for me to understand. I can't just imagine myself in your shoes. It's the only way I can best understand your perspective is to talk, allow you to share your story with me. I think that's something that managers and leaders, everyone can do. And then if you want to take this step further, right, which is not something you totally have to do, but if you feel it's a responsibility and you understand if you have influence, right, you feel as if you can make a larger impact beyond your team, then host something, host a town hall, host a meeting, or talk about it at all hands. Everyone has the power to do that, right? Even for our events with Leah, with LinkedIn Asian Alliance, we talked about doing 30 days of programming or at the town hall, while we knew it was going to take a lot of resources, we just said, let's get it done. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. We just threw it on the wall, it stuck, and we just started, organizing and mobilizing, right? So it's all starts from there.
So I know it, you know, what I hear from a lot of people that aren't as active on social media, whether it's like Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram, like some people just don't post that much. One of the feedback that I'm hearing is like, well, I don't really post that much. So, I'm afraid to post almost. Like, I don't know. I hear that from a lot of my colleagues.
Sure. And at the end of the day, not everyone's an activist. It's right. Not our responsibility to be an activist. For me, I make it my responsibility. Mm-hmm. I just, it's up to you to make it your responsibility and to care about it, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to stay non-vocal, sure. You absolutely have the right to stay and not say whatever, however way you feel. But know that if you do say something, especially if you are not Black, especially if you are, let's just say it, white, right? There's no doubt that your voice can stretch further, further than their voices, than our voices, right? The more people who join, like, you have impact. Your voice matters, right? It's one thing for us to say it and to talk about it as minorities, but it's another to have our Caucasian allies to also be defending us, because they have influence and networks that stretch beyond, that stretch beyond where we're at, right? And so that's why it's so important to speak up if you haven't spoken up yet. And if you remain non-vocal, that's your choice. Sure. Again, it's not your responsibility to be an activist. No, you don't have to. But know that if you do, it does have a major, major impact.
Very well said. Thanks, Garrett. And I feel like a lot of Asian families, old school mentality, for lack of, like, people that weren't born in America, this is like a pretty big generalization, but I know of a lot of Asian, like, parents or the much older generation that do have these preconceived notions and quite frankly, like, are a little bit more vocal about that than the newer generation. Like, for us, like, we've been in America long enough that we have a different perspective. But, I know a lot of, like, Asian families, like Vietnamese parents or grandparents, that are just straight, that are pretty racist, for lack of a better word, right? So how does one, you don't want to be disrespectful to elders, right? That's one of our values. But get them to, not get them, but almost present a different perspective without disrespecting your elders.
I mean, it starts with you, right? It starts with you. I think many of us in the Asian community have parents who have similar views or beliefs, and everyone has the right to have their own personal political truths. You have that, right? If you believe it, and this is just your stance, then the beautiful thing about this country is that you can believe that. But I think that the other part to that is that we who understand the differences, who understand those objective truths, right? Those human truths, understanding, if it's one thing, for many of those, in that generation, because of how they grew up, it was important to have those beliefs, right? And it's no fault of their own, right? And so, we can't fault that generation for believing what they believe in, because that's just how they grew up. Mm-hmm. But for us, for those who do know better, for those who do see what's happening around us and understand the power of empathy, who I've heard time and time again that you should lead with compassion, because having those conversations helps us to move forward. Mm-hmm. If they don't know what they don't know, right? And for us, if you do clearly understand the benefits of having that dialogue and still don't make the change, that's where I think that things can shift in the wrong direction. So it's all, it all starts with you. You can, as they say, be the change. Cliche. It's true.
Yeah, I do think that that's a good point. I think sometimes we undervalue the impact that we have on other human beings. I think because there's honestly a lot of noise out there, right? And there's a lot of opinions, and everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But I do think sometimes people feel like, well, I'm just one person. What can I do, right? So I do think, it's just one of those things that, like, it's a muscle that you practice, right? I think the first couple of times it might be uncomfortable, right? Just like, voicing your opinion or taking a stand, right? Sometimes people that aren't used to taking a stand or used to having these conversations that many would say it's, like, difficult, right? Especially in a work setting. Yeah, I think like with anything else, it's a practice, right? I think the first couple of times it's uncomfortable, and I think the more, you know, because this obviously is not going to be the last time this conversation ever comes up, right? Just, yeah, we live in a very diverse country. So, I would say because even for me, like it was uncomfortable because normally I don't say anything like I when it comes to, you know, race and politics and things like this, right? But I think I'm starting to like kind of flex that muscle, and I'm noticing like, oh, okay, like I'm impacting others, like, you know, people are starting to think differently because of, you know, me just bringing something up or just voicing some of my perspectives. Yeah.
You know, I think that especially right now, you know, our e-board just had a meeting, and one of our leads, I don't want to call him or her out, but she said something that really resonated with me, which was that I think that the one thing that has come out of this and from our leaders up top, let's say, that's been good, is that it's made politics front of mind for all of us. Like, we now understand that politics affect everyone, right? And we know how it affects us directly. It affects our relationships. It affects our opportunity. It affects our economy. It affects our businesses. It affects every aspect of our life. And so because of that, it's made everyone more involved in politics. And I think it's a good thing. I don't think I was naturally someone into political science or, you know, I took no stance like that whatsoever in my previous life. And even to this day, I don't think politics is something that I'm wildly passionate about. But I am passionate about diversity, inclusion, and belonging. I am passionate about ensuring that everyone has a just and equitable opportunity. That's really important to me. So, yeah, I think it's a struggle, and it's hard, and it's very difficult to bring up. It's a tough conversation to have, but there's no doubt that it absolutely helps us to move forward. I'll add too that, you know, there is I had a conversation with, you know, so we had a town hall with a couple of panelists last week, Rosanna Dorothy, Farhan Zaid, and Han Vo. We had a couple of fantastic LinkedIn leaders. And in a pre-call, we kind of talked about authenticity. And we talked about how, again, this kind of goes back to our point around why speaking up is so important. We talk all the time about authenticity, being yourself, right? If you break down the term, you know, it's speaking your mind. It's filling the gap between our internal and external selves. It's saying what you feel and mean genuinely without any reservation. And the more I kind of even see those definitions, the more I sort of start to see, like, you know, authenticity could be a big reason why we're here where we're at today. When it comes to, you know, people really speaking their mind and saying how they feel without considering how others feel. So, you know, we sort of drill down a couple of rules to the authenticity now, right? Because being authentic for a minority is very different. Being authentic as a Black person is very different. You know, without the help of allies, the last thing I want to be, especially right now, is a lot of times myself. I don't want to be myself. I don't want to be fully authentic because I don't trust that that's going to have the impact it would have if I was not minority. And so a couple of things we broke down was, number one, you know, authenticity works best once you've proven competence, right? It's why, you know, for those who are experts in their field, being vulnerable and authentic works because they've already proven that they're very capable of their job. Number two is that authenticity without empathy is a very, very selfish thing. It's incredibly selfish to be fully authentic without considering the other side. Number three is that authenticity without status and title is very risky, incredibly risky to be vulnerable and to be authentic without first having owned or be or to have any sort of that status. And that's why it's so important for allies to speak up, because they do, because they inherited so much already. They inherited status, title, networks, influence, wealth, and their voices can go to circles and networks way beyond our reach.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett. This is a really timely conversation, and you know, I hope everyone has enjoyed this conversation. I think it's awesome that you're such an advocate, and you know, you're just sharing your allyship and how we can contribute one person at a time. So yeah, I really appreciate this conversation. Thanks, Garrett.
yeah, thanks for bringing me on. I appreciate you, and thanks for doing this. This means a lot.
Cool.